So your teacher's like, don't say anything. And it's not even like a funny thing, but they said don't talk. So now you want to laugh and then you just can't stop laughing. You ever done that? And it's like this infectious thing and the whole class goes crazy. I do that all the time. I hate it when people tell me not to like make noise because then I just have to make noise. So it drives me nuts. And as I'm reading our passages, we're going through this series still with Joshua. And we're talking about Jericho. We get to the point of the battle where God's like, hey, listen, don't make any noise. And you got all these soldiers who are lining up and they're ready to march. And they're going to go like around this big, huge, massive city and all the walls over and over. And they're expected to not make noise. He's like, I don't want you to talk. Don't even let one word come out. Now I just want to say a word. Just the fact that you said that makes me want to talk. Like it drives me nuts. And yet these people were told, like, don't make noise. Just be absolutely silent and march. Do nothing else and go around this city. So this passage kind of blows my mind for that, that these guys were actually able to do that. I probably would have just like giggled and laughed the entire time all the way around and got in trouble, struck by lightning. Who knows what would happen to me? I don't know. But I don't know if I would have been able to do that. And yet they did. And so I want you to look with me. We're in Joshua chapter 6. You guys got Bibles, hopefully. Check that out with me. Joshua 6. We've seen some cool stuff so far in this story. This battle of Jericho with Joshua. And we've learned that, like, first we saw God wanted Joshua just to have his heart centered on him. More importantly than like battle plans and good weapons and all this stuff, he's like, look, just realize whose presence you're in. And he tells him to take his sandals off, remember? He's like, because you're on holy ground. And Joshua just falls and worships. And then he gets this like really awesome advice from God, that this lesson that builds him up through this battle that teaches him basically to trust God. And we talked about us, like, so we're going on our school campuses, right? And we're, hopefully you guys went to See You at the Pole today. Raise your hand if you're at See You at the Pole. Awesome opportunity today to start this, what we're talking about. And then in a few days, in October, you're going to get to bring your Bible to school. Another awesome opportunity to do what we're talking about. Project Jericho, get on your campus, tear some walls down for Jesus. And so as we're talking about doing that, one thing Joshua learns through this battle was to trust God. And a lot of us stop short. We don't even like think that the promises God made us are actually worth trusting. So we never take the first step. We never actually step onto our campus and go to a See You at the Pole because other people will see me there and make fun of me and laugh. And I'll tell you, I was at Merritt Island High School's See You at the Pole this morning. And there was a group of believers around that flagpole. It was so awesome. It started, there were just a couple of us. And it was like that nervous feeling because it's in the middle of their courtyard. And if you've ever been to Merritt Island High School, that's like where all the students sit and just watch. So there's just a couple of us and we're just being stared at. And then slowly more and more people trickle in. And that circle gets bigger and bigger around the flagpole. Until like some of the students decide to go invite their friends who aren't believers. They're like, they're atheists, but I'm going to invite them anyway. And they come over and they stink and pray with us in the circle. It was like mind blowing. Like, what are they doing? This is so cool. And that circle grew and grew and grew with people who believed in Jesus and people who just wanted to come here because they were curious what we were doing. Let me tell you, that's an awesome opportunity to have. Standing on a public school campus and getting to pray dead center of their courtyard and proclaim Jesus to atheists. Like, but if you don't trust God's promise enough to step into that circle when it's scary, people might be watching. People might make fun. They might stare. Then you're going to miss out on seeing this incredible blessing of God because you stepped out and said, Lord, I trust you. So Joshua learned how to trust and how to obey God's plans. And now tonight we're learning that sometimes he tells us just to be quiet. And sometimes he tells us when to talk. And so we need to know the difference. So look with me. Hopefully you guys open there now. You're in Joshua 6. Just look at verse 10. Let's look at that command. It says, but Joshua commanded the people, ready? You shall not shout or, look at this. This is the hard part. Like, I don't know. Make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth. Like not one word can leave your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, then you shall shout. So God's not saying, hey, just live your life always quiet, never say a word, never speak again, take a vow of silence. He's not saying that. But he is saying, listen to me. And when I say talk, talk. And when I say be quiet, be quiet. And that goes right back to the lesson Joshua just learned of listening for God's plan instead of Rob's plan. Instead of going to God and saying, hey, will you get on my side, Lord? Because I really want to do this. And I think it'd be really awesome if my life could look this way. And if you will just do it, I'll be so happy. And God's like, wait. Instead of getting me on your side, why don't you come over here to my side? Why don't you line up behind me and find out the plans I have for your life? Because they're way better than yours. And so Joshua had to learn that lesson. And if he hadn't, when this point came where he's like, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you when to talk and when to be quiet, I don't know if he would have had the trust, if he would have had the faith. So God is slowly teaching Joshua to follow him. And so it seems like kind of an odd command, doesn't it? Like, why would they need to be quiet? What's the point? Can you imagine what the people on top of the wall were doing? Remember, this is a big, massive wall. People had houses in the wall, like they lived there. Chariots went around the top of it. It was massive. I guarantee there were people all up on top looking over the side of the Israelites going, you guys are idiots. Maybe spitting at them, throwing things at them, laughing at them, mocking them like, I can't believe you're tooting a horn. Really? You brought a horn to a battle? Like, that's all you got? What would you feel like in that situation? Would you be wondering, like, wait a minute, does our commander really know what he's doing? Has he seen the size of these walls? Am I going to really just march around and wait for some old guys up front to blow through some ram's horns and like, that's it? We're just going to march and not talk? And I'm going to do this for 7 days? Would you start to wonder about the plan and then think about the people at the top who are spitting at you and making fun of you and telling you how stupid you are for believing that? Now put yourself just in your everyday life as you walk onto your school campus and you hear from your friends who don't think Jesus is that cool. And they wonder why you go to church. And they wonder why you don't go to those parties or say those things or do those things. And isn't it very similar to looking up at the top of the wall going, I'm trying to just obey God. And these people, like, all they can think about is mocking me and spitting at me, like, just telling me how dumb I am for it. I could tell you that in that moment, it could be easy to start to doubt. And be like, am I really following the right plan? Should I really be standing up for Jesus? Because all my friends around me are having so much fun doing other stuff. All my friends around me are like, they look like their life is so fun and so together. And I'm over here going to youth group and like reading my Bible and not doing those things. Am I missing out? And I can tell you that Satan's going to want to get in your head. And he's going to want to be like, hey, no, listen, just forget that plan. God doesn't know what he's doing. It's ridiculous. They're right. Listen to them when they make fun of you. Just go join them. See, the lessons Joshua has been learning had been building him up to say, no, my commander's got his sword already drawn. It's in his hand and he's ready to lead me to battle. And that's not just some dude. That's Jesus. That's the commander of God's army in front of me. Do you believe that the commander of God's army is in front of you tonight? That he's marching you into your house where there might be people who don't believe in Christ? That he's marching you onto a school campus, Christian or non-Christian, where there are people who want to have nothing to do with this church stuff, this Jesus stuff? And are you ready to follow that commander and do what he says? If you want me to talk, tell me to talk. If you want me to be quiet, tell me to be quiet. Look what it says down, skip down a verse, to verse 12. We see that more than your words or your deeds or abilities, like the good things you're good at, God wants your obedience and your trust. It's really that easy. Like when God tells you, hey, listen up, I want you to do this. You go, okay, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you. Verse 12 and 13 say, then Joshua rose early in the morning and the priests took up the ark of the Lord and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord while the trumpets blew continually. So what I just read you was the plan. Like, this was the battle plan. You're going to walk around, there's going to be some people blowing horns, and you guys are going to be really quiet and not let a word out of your mouth. Like, that's what you're going to do. And the cool thing is, Joshua did it. Can you imagine this, like, great commander? And, like, that was the plan from God? And he's like, are you sure you don't want our guys to flank one side and then we could have some arrows, like, flying over here and maybe shoot a, like, catapult with this flaming thing over here? Like, this could be a good plan, God. He wasn't like that. He was like, Lord, if you said to be quiet and march, I'm going to be quiet and march and tell my men to do it. Let's go. I believe God hasn't just called you guys to follow. I think he's preparing you to lead. So you're a lot more like Joshua than you think. See, it's one thing to line up in the army and just be quiet and follow everybody else. It's another thing to be the guy who's telling them, this is the way to go. Do this. Because not only is the enemy spitting at you and making fun of you, your own men start to doubt you. The people that you love, that you're close to, that you're intimate with, these guys you trust start to turn on you and think, whoa, like, what are you having us do here? This is ridiculous. And so it can be a lot harder to be a leader than a follower in these situations. And I believe God's called you to be leaders. That's why we're doing this thing called Project Jericho, because he's developing leaders among you guys. He's building you up to go into your schools and to break those walls down for Christ. But being a leader is going to mean that you not only listen to the non-believers who are making fun, but you're able, even in the hard times when your friends start to doubt that you're leading, that you're able to be like, no, we're not giving up. We're not stopping. We're not turning around. We're going to keep trusting Jesus. And you're encouraging the people around you. How many of you all have people around you that you encourage, that you know you influence? You have friends that you know look to you, and that when you speak, they're like, they're listening, you know? When I look through this room, I see a lot of leaders. I see a lot of students who are influential in your groups. And there are so many kids who look to you going, which way should we go? What should we do in this situation? How will you use that? Will you be like Joshua and be like, let's go, we're not giving up. We're going to follow this thing no matter what they say. That's what God's calling you to do. The really cool thing about this is that they're carrying this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. You guys know what that is? I know it seemed like the old Indiana Jones movies. Indiana Jones, the Ark of the Covenant, right? It's awesome. Well, it was Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think was the name of that one. But the Ark was this thing that God commanded the Israelites, his people, to build. And in this Ark is where the presence, the glory of God dwelt. And so when they carried it, it was like this amazing power, this weapon that would just like, God would basically just like blow up armies. Like wherever they went, they had these awesome successes in battle. Okay? And they're carrying this ark. They're basically carrying around the presence of God. God's presence was going with them wherever they went. And this is awesome when I compare this to my life and think about the promises God has for me and you. Because when you go on campus, you know what happens? You're carrying the Ark of the Covenant onto your campus. And you're looking around right now. You're like looking under your chair. Like, did Rob stick it in my backpack? Like, where's the Ark of the Covenant? I don't have one of those. But you actually do, because 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this. Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you. You are the Ark of the Covenant. You carry God's presence and God's glory inside of you. The Holy Spirit himself dwells in you. So when you walk on that campus, just like the Israelites here in Joshua, you're carrying God's presence onto your campus. If not one other person there believes in Jesus, the light of Christ is there because you've just stepped onto that campus and you carry him with you. That's awesome for me because now I know it's not just me trying to fight a battle. It's I am not good enough to win. But God himself is going with me to fight it. The cool thing about this passage is they didn't even have to say a word. God was already guaranteeing victory. So you're already maybe thinking how scary this is. that I keep asking you for weeks. I've been asking you, will you go onto your campus and be a light for Jesus? Will you invite people to Firehouse? Will you invite people to FCA? Will you share your faith with people in the hallways? Will you serve and love the students and teachers on your campus for no reason except that you love Jesus and them? Will you do those things? And you're like, Rob, that's nuts. That's scary. And I'm not sure how I'm even going to do that. I guarantee you this army felt the same way. But the fact that they were carrying the presence of God meant their feelings didn't matter. God's big enough. God is strong enough. Even when you're afraid and feel like inadequate, God is never inadequate. He's more than enough, infinitely more than enough. Trust the fact that he lives within you and just say, yes, God, here we go. I'm going to get after my school with the love of Christ. What if we quietly and peacefully just carried around God's presence everywhere we went? What if you went home and quietly and peacefully carried God's presence in your heart? How would that change your family and your home life? What would your parents think? What would your brothers and sisters think if that became who you were? And you trusted the presence of God in you, in your house, in your classrooms, in the sports that you play. What if that happened? What would change? Look at Joshua 6:16. It says, and at the seventh time, so they've gone around six times quietly, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, so here's their seventh time. It's their last time around now. The priest blew the trumpets. And you know what happens? Look at this. He says, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So there's a time to be quiet, but there's also a time to not just quietly carry that presence of God, but to actually open your mouth and speak to people about the truth of Jesus. We're going to be really careful nowadays because we have all this church, like all these sermons that are out there nowadays that are just so much easier to preach. I tell you that as a preacher. It's easier to tell you, just live for Jesus and smile and love people a lot, and that's enough. They'll see Jesus in you, and that's all you have to do. That's easy to tell you because I'm not asking you to do anything. And so there's a lot of preachers who are preaching that because it's easy, and then you smile and feel good, and you leave, and everything's just easy. But that's not what this passage says. We are supposed to live for Christ. It should show up in our actions and our love and all that awesome stuff. But then there's a time to speak and to open your mouth and do the hard thing that no one wants to do because we're scared out of our minds to do it. There's this guy. He has a really funny name, and you're going to laugh when I say it. St. Francis of Assisi. Okay? He's not a sissy. He was a really tough dude. But this guy said this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. So he's assuming that people are always living the gospel. People are able to look at your life and go, you must love Jesus because you're constantly loving people and serving people and sacrificing and doing things that just don't make sense. You must love Jesus. So your life is the gospel. They just look at you and they can see it. And he says, that's awesome, and live like that all the time. But also when it's necessary, open your mouth up and tell them the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't just say, I'm just going to live because it's easy. So hopefully people see it and get saved. There will be a moment where your friends need you to sit down at their side and say, Jesus died for you. They need you to open your mouth and use your words and say, look, I know you're hurting today. I know your heart's broken. I know what just happened in your family, but I need to tell you something. Jesus died for me and changed my life. And I know he can do it for you. And it takes you opening your mouth and saying the words so they can hear the truth about Jesus Christ. Show it to them in your life, but don't ever hold back the words of truth when they need to hear it. There is an appropriate time to speak. And that's what this whole thing is about. Asking God, when should I say something? And when do I need to just keep my mouth shut? And as I go onto my campus, God, the thing that I take away from this is obedience. I want to listen to your voice and I want to hear the people's names that you're putting in my mind and in my heart, then I'm going to see that day tomorrow in school. Who will you see? Can you picture their faces right now? When you walk on campus, who's the first person that's going to say hello to you? Who are going to sit around you in the chairs around you in your first class? Who will you eat lunch with tomorrow? Among those people, who needs to hear the name of Jesus? Who needs to be encouraged? Who's just having a hard time right now? They need you to put your arm around him and love him and encouraging him in Christ. Will you just ask God, Lord, put those names in my mind so that tomorrow when I go, I can go, yes, God, here I go. I can say yes to you and obey and get on my campus and start telling people about who you are. And remember that last week Joshua learned to believe God's promises, and I'm going to ask you to believe God's promise. You learned to trust his plan, and I'm telling you, if you ask, he'll give you a plan. Will you trust it? And it might be for tomorrow. It might be tonight. He's already telling some of you guys, pick up your phone and make a call. Text that friend that you know needs it right now. And so that brings us to, will you obey his command? Will you say yes when he speaks? Or will you be like a lot of Christians nowadays and just sit in your chair and be like, I went to church, mark that off my list, I'm good. He's not just asking you to go to church. He's asking you to make a difference in the world. You, middle school student, high school student, he's asking you to make a difference in the world. And you know why? You're gifted, you're talented, that's awesome. But it's not that. It's because you carry the presence of God in you. And he came to this world to make a difference. Will you be his hands and feet, and will you make a difference? So look at what happens. The end of the chapter, Joshua 6:20, the end of the story is this. So the people shouted. They obeyed God. And because they obeyed, look what happens. The trumpets were blown, and as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. I can make a promise to you tonight. If you say yes to Jesus, you will be successful the way Jesus wants you to be successful. You will accomplish the thing Jesus has set before you. And I can tell you that because I've looked at the places in my life where I've been like, God, I'm not good enough. There's no way this is going to happen. I'm going to fall flat on my face and fail. And God had to say, Rob, it doesn't depend on you. All you have to do is say, yes, I want this. I will accomplish this. Will you go along for the ride with God and trust him? You guys bow your heads with me. Father, we've talked about some heavy things tonight. These aren't small things you're asking us to do, Lord, and we need your help. God, we need you to put the faith in our heart to say yes tomorrow when we go to school. To say yes tonight when we go home, and you put that person on our heart that you want us to make the phone call to and just say, look, I know you're hurting. I believe in Jesus. I need to tell you about him because I think he can fix your pain. God, will you give us that courage, that faith? Will you remind us who we have living inside of us? The power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish whatever you ask us to do in your name. Will you take our schools, build these students up so we could tear those walls down and see students love Jesus Christ? Thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for being able to stand around that flagpole and see students come up and just boldly and unashamedly say, we love Jesus. Will you do that in our hearts? Give us the courage to stand up in a culture that tells us to sit down and be quiet. Blend in. Cause us to stand up and say the one name that makes a difference. The name of Jesus Christ. Give us that courage. I pray that some students tomorrow would see you just blow their minds, God. They step on the campus and you do something that they have to come back to Firehouse next week and go, you won't believe what happened last week. We talked about this, and then God the next day showed me, because he showed up on my campus and he did this awesome thing in my life. God, will you give us those stories? Will you make that become reality because you want it and we're saying yes? Father, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.